Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and cured every disease among the people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise this Sunday, we're commemorating Respect Life Sunday, which recalls especially the 1973 Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade, which opened up the doors to basically almost unlimited infanticide. And of course, we Catholics recognize this Supreme Court decision allowing the killing of children to be totally illegal. It's as illegal as was the Supreme Court decision back in the year 1857, which claimed that slaves were not human beings. And so we, as Catholics, totally reject this kind of thinking. Now, if you've ever attended Midnight Mass, and I hasten to say, I have not attended Midnight Mass in many, many years. I have difficulty staying up at that hour. But if you have recently attended a Midnight Mass, you might have heard the first reading that we had from the prophet Isaiah about how the people who lived in darkness and the shadow of death have seen a great light. And those words are echoed in the gospel, and that light, which Isaiah first refers to, is in fact the light of Jesus Christ. The light of Jesus shines on many people, and on this Sunday in particular, we can ask, what is the effect of his light? We hear in Matthew's gospel also Jesus calling his first apostles, asking them simply to follow him, to walk away from home, to walk away from their livelihood in order to be his disciples. And we can ask ourselves, when Jesus calls you and me, are we ready to leave everything that is not consistent with being a disciple of Christ? I think it's difficult for us, and it must have been difficult for those first apostles. Think in particular of this poor man Zebedee. His fishing business was suddenly gutted when his two sons, James and John, just suddenly pick up and leave and follow Jesus. Now, whatever is the vocation that we have been given in life, everyone has an inner vocation to be a saint. We've each one been given the call to holiness. And you and I who live in our anti-life culture, we are burdened in knowing what it means to be people who dwell in darkness, in a land, in the United States of America, which is indeed under the shadow of death. The darkness in our land, lest we be accused of demonizing a particular persons, we have to recognize that it is the work of Satan, who is the master of sin. And we ourselves, personally, we know about darkness in our own lives, because there's darkness in our own lives wherever there are sins where we have given ourselves over to things that we know are not of God. As Christians, we who are members of the broad body of Christ, we are each called to the fullness of truth. We're called to unity in Christ. And remember, St. Paul in the second reading was talking about the disunity even among that first generation of Christians. Our Holy Father tells us that the greatest scandal in the world today is the division among us, the division among Christians. We Christians all, I believe, claim to have a faith in Jesus Christ. But if you look at all those who call themselves Christians, almost everything, on almost every subject you can think of, there's disagreement. And again, you and I know that because of sin, these divisions and discrepancies exist even within us. Whenever we sin, we ourselves don't live the life that Jesus has called us to. He is the truth. He told us that the truth will set us free, which means that we probably every day have to work on getting rid of whatever it is within us that is not of the truth, anything that cannot stand up to the light of Jesus Christ. But we also need to look at where the division among Christians is very visible and very obvious and very sad. Wherever there is division among Christians, we are not united in truth. We are not united in Jesus Christ. Now, within the church, there are many, many people who like to call themselves Catholic, but they certainly know that they do not accept the fullness of truth. They want to pick and choose. They forget that Jesus himself is the truth. And we cannot separate out part of the truth of Jesus and say, this is too difficult, this doesn't apply to me, I'm going to ignore that. You know, back a couple thousand years ago, again, in the time of the generation of first Christians, Jesus' first disciples had a lot of trouble with some areas of the truth. Remember especially his teaching on the Eucharist, which we begin to receive in John chapter 6. Many, many of his disciples found this teaching too difficult. They didn't quite understand it, and they abandoned him. But some of them made the hard decision to accept the very difficult but true teaching. And remember, John chapter 6 ends up with Peter, probably in a sense of exasperation, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? And Peter at that time probably did not understand the teaching that he was being given. But they embraced what was difficult because they knew it was true. Also, you know, we find that they had a lot of trouble with Jesus' teaching on marriage. And remember, at the time, it was relatively easy, according to the practice of some Jews, for husbands just to get rid of their wives. So divorce was an accepted reality within Judaism. But in fact, they had trouble with his teaching on marriage, and they went so far to ask Jesus, how is it possible? Why would anyone get married if this is the case? Jesus' insistence on one marriage. And Jesus' reply was, for God all things are possible. So they had to decide, do we want to live according to what Judaism might allow us in certain circumstances, or are we going to live according to the teaching of Jesus Christ, realizing that every one of us has a struggle living the fullness of the teaching. Now, in the modern church, many people confront the same kind of questions when it comes especially to teachings on sexual morality, one thinks of contraception, and so on. And today we have to recall infanticide, which has to do with the killing of children in the womb, killing of the children at birth, killing of the children after birth. That's all infanticide. And just to clarify, to make sure we all understand, the Catholic Church teaching is there's no moral difference in the status of the child before birth, at birth, or after birth. We're talking about a child. We're talking about a human being. So there's no moral difference between the way you treat them before birth, at birth, or after birth. So the latest case that you might have read about is the so-called abortion doctor in Philadelphia, who evidently was involved in the killing of hundreds of newborn babies. Now, this has shocked everyone. And according to press reports, abortionist Kermit Gosnell for many years operated a kind of house of horrors, what's been referred to as a death camp in Philadelphia. And this so-called doctor would destroy the newborn babies and store their bodies in trash containers. But if all this seems shocking, remember that there is, of course, no moral difference between killing the child before birth, at birth, or after birth. But millions of voters who claim they are Catholic abandoned their allegiance to Jesus Christ in 2008 when they voted for the most extreme, the most radical pro-abortion president the United States has ever had, a president who affirms a right to kill children before birth and at birth. And of course, as I said, we Catholics believe there's no moral difference before birth, at birth, after birth. Millions of voters who say they are Catholic actively, insistently, wholeheartedly support infanticide by their votes. The only explanation I can think of that they would vote for any of these people is they must figure they're going to get some sort of economic or financial benefit from this infanticide candidate. Millions of people who say they are Catholic make all this possible. And they seem to be clueless that there could be any contradiction between infanticide and at the same time claiming to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we see that in our country, and certainly even within his church, Jesus Christ is divided. And like the apostles of old, you and I need to be willing personally to embrace the truth, beginning especially in our own lives, even when the truth is difficult for us. And even if the truth means that we are going ourselves to suffer some sort of economic loss. And this is what the Lord is asking of all of us. We need to embrace the truth about what is happening to the wider body of Christ in our country. The truth is, we don't like to hear it, we have become a people who live in great darkness. We live in a land that is now overshadowed by death, by the murder of more than 3,000 children each day, more than 50 million since 1973. We become so hardened by death that when the human dignity of persons is violated in other areas, we hardly seem to notice. And of course, anyone who has been sucked into this culture of death dreads having to hear a homily on this subject. And it's because, whether it's something like infanticide or if it's something like our own personal sin in a different area, we cannot stand the light of Christ to be cast on it. Brothers and sisters, if we are truly going to live the life that we profess, that is, if we are truly going to be members and disciples of Jesus Christ, we each are called by Jesus, just like the first apostles, to leave behind everything that is not of him and to follow him wholeheartedly with our whole soul, with our whole strength. Can you and I say yes to everything that he's asking of us? Or are we following him only half-heartedly? Will we allow his light to shine on us and in us? Can the light of Jesus Christ actually be seen in you and me? Or is the light in us rather dim because we obstinately cling to what is opposed to Christ, like the infanticide Catholics who empower people like Dr. Gosnell in Philadelphia? You and I are called to the fullness of Jesus Christ, to bring Christ into the world so that people will see him in us. And the only way that that's going to happen is when we embrace the fullness of Christ, the fullness of his truth, when we ourselves break with our sins and the lies of Satan and live according to the freedom of children of God. It's only going to happen when we repent, when we leave behind everything that is not of Christ, and finally follow him with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and with all of our strength.